prospective mothers or even those who've lost their mothers, just to reflect on. But don't let this be the only day. Mothers are precious, and we all know that life is brief and short. You know, one of the things I learned, I made a mission of mine, is to start to give folks their flowers while they're living. They can't smell them when they're dead. So let us do a better job of reaching out and also letting folks know what it's all about, and also showing folks that you love and appreciate them. So this is a time, again, the world sets aside to welcome and also to recognize our mothers. So this lesson this morning, I'm going to do it from up front from now, because we're trying to, you know, stream all of it, all of our lessons. So I guess I can make it reach. Maybe not. Might have to come back down. My technology is messing up on me. I guess I'm too far away. If I come down here, you still be in the camera. There we go. Thank you. Hang on already, Chad. Why you gonna let me know? Gotta blame it on somebody. Right, Virginia? I'll be cooking with gasoline. Subject title: what are mothers made of? So it did work. Let us look at Proverbs. Proverbs 31. We're going to begin at verse number 10. A lot of you know this particular excerpt as King Lemuel, who's given credit for writing this particular proverb, passage of Proverbs, what a virtuous woman is. We're going to look at that as a way up, because it's something that's needed in our world today. I don't know about you, but it kind of just saddens my heart to sometimes turn on the TV and look at the examples that we see of mothers and women. You know, sometimes they're scantily clad, and, you know, it seems to be that's this lost sense of importance, this lost sense of value for those who are mothers according to what God says, or even women according to what God says. You think about the effect it has on one another. Think about the various situations, things like depression and anxiety, and things like eating disorders that oftentimes, not just women, but vast majority, a lot of women suffer from these things. You wonder why. You know, maybe they're trying to not reach and not go by God's example of a virtuous woman, but maybe the world. And as we know, as we see, and we have our young ones and we have our older ones, that, you know, we have a responsibility to teach them what not only a godly woman is, but also what a godly mother is. So, but I'm going to begin a little lighthearted situation or stance thing before we get started this morning. Now, I ran across and preparing for this lesson, and it's entitled, some things I kind of pulled together, it's entitled, What Kids Say About Their Mothers. Now, you know, kids, they're honest, sometimes brutally honest, and they're always funny to listen to, but it's just amazing some of the things that you hear them say about their mothers. For example, the first question asked to these young folks was, how did God make mothers? One young person said, magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring to get the lumps out. Another one said, he used dirt just like he used for the rest of us. Why did God make mothers? Child said, think about it. It's actually the best way to make more people. Somebody says this also. Another child said, I think mainly to clean the house and cook. That's why God made mothers. And this one got me, because I'm kind of understanding this last point. Why did God make mothers? Because she's the only one in the house who can find out what a scotch tape is. Kind of like that one, because I can't find nothing. Why did God give you a mother and not somebody else's? God knew she likes me a whole lot more than the other kids that she's been around. That's why God gave them to me. And this one says, we're related, duh. Why did God give me mothers? This one says this. What kind of little girl was your mother? Probably was, I don't know, because I wasn't there. But my guess is she was probably pretty bossy then, too. Another one says, what kind of little girl was your mother? Response was, people say she used to be nice. This one says, now what ingredients does God use to make mothers? The response was, they get their start from men's bones, but I think they mostly held together by string. This one says this, God makes mothers out of angel hair and clouds and everything nice in the world, except he adds a dab or two of meanness. Kind of makes sense. How did your mother meet your dad? And this is hilarious. Mommy was working in a store and daddy was shoplifting. What did your mother need to know about your father before she married him? One child said his last name. Second one says this. She had to know his background, like, does he get drunk on beer? Is he a crook? Does he make at least $900 a year? Does he say no to drugs and yes to chores? Why did your mother marry your father? She got too old to do anything else with him. My grandma says that mama didn't have a thinking cap on when she decided to marry him. My dad makes the best spaghetti in the world, and my mama eats a lot of it, so I guess they make a good couple. Who's the boss around your house? My mom doesn't want to be the boss, but she had to because my dad's such a goofball. I guess mom is, because only because she is a lot more and has a lot more to do than dad. What does your mother do in her spare time? To hear her tell it, she doesn't have any spare time. So I don't know. What's the difference between moms and dads? Dads are stronger and taller, but moms have real power, because that's who you got to ask to spend the night over your friend's house. What's the difference between grandmothers and mothers? This one says, you can always count on grandma for candy. Sometimes mom don't even got bread for us. Another one says, what's the difference between grandmas and mothers? About 30 years, I guess. That's the difference between them. Describe the world's greatest mother. She will be someone who make broccoli taste like ice cream. I kind of agree with that. The greatest mother in the world wouldn't make me kiss all my aunts. She'd always be smiling and keep her opinions to herself. Makes a great mother, I guess. Is anything about your mother that's perfect? Her casserole dishes, she thinks, but we actually hate them. On the inside, she's already perfect. On the outside, I guess some kind of plastic surgery might help her out. If you could change one thing about your mother, what would it be? I'd make my mother smarter. Then she wouldn't know it was my sister. Then she would know it was my sister who did it and not me. This last one says, she has this weird thing about keeping my room clean. I wish she'd really get rid of that. So, strange things come from kids. So as we go into our lesson, what are mothers made of? When you think about the examples that we have in Proverbs chapter 31, let's begin at verse number 10, and it reads as such. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth her vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hands to the poor, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looked well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest in them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What are moms made of? First, let me say this. There's no such thing as a perfect mom. Why? Because there's no such thing as a perfect person. When you think about the role of motherhood. Think about all the responsibilities, all the things they have to deal with, all the changes that happen in their body. Think about the fact of God is still working on them too. That still works in progress. But yet and still, many of the ones that Proverbs 31 describes do these things and many more. Moms, they love, hurt, laugh, cry, live, and unfortunately die. God has given us a special gift in our mothers. No one can replace her, but others can help her fill that role. All right. Going too fast. There we go. King Lemuel gives us the picture of a virtuous woman. Virtuous means to have high moral standards, the constant ability to make the right decisions, chaste, potent, excellent of standards in love. So what constitutes a virtuous woman? First of all, she's a woman of powerful influence. Political, educational, worldly influence is nothing compared to the influence of a good woman or mother in your life. I want you to think about what society values. Society values power, positions of power, and oftentimes and they look down upon those mothers who dedicated their lives to raising their children and making a good godly home, but actually they're way more influential than the President of the United States. They're way more influential than the person who dribbles a basketball or plays a football. They're way more influential than that. But in our society, it seems like we've kind of dropped the ball with that. We've almost made to the fact or made have come to the decision that there's really nothing important. And being a mother is one of the easiest things you can do. That's not true. Those of you who are mothers, you know sometimes they hold full-time jobs and come home and work a full-time job taking care of the children and their families and their husbands. So it is not an easy job, but it is one that God has blessed tremendously. There are no more important roles in society than being a godly woman and also a mother. So don't let anybody talk down to you. Anybody who says things like, you know, it's not important or you don't do nothing, they need to switch places with you. And understand that when we are sleeping, I told Regina all the time, and, you know, my granddaughter got here and we talked to my son about it. You know what? And I asked him, do you hear at night? He's like, no, I don't hear nothing. So I know who's getting up. I know who's taking care of. But guess what? I did the same thing. I don't think my kids ever cried at night. Not that I wasn't concerned, but there's something about a mother who knows when a child is upset and crying. Now, I might have got up a time or two when she kicked me out of the bed and made me go, but that first sound, they know something is going on with their child. It is a special thing. It's a special bond to see and be a part of. So when you talk about this, this is what King Lemuel is talking about here. Wise men realize this fact and support this in their wives and also the women in their lives. Humanity is built through the love and care of a woman. You know, we think about the fact of many times we honor those who accomplish big things in society or become CEOs and all these other things, but how did they get there? Usually there's a woman or somebody in their life filling that role or mother role to kind of help and encourage them along the way, to be that backbone, to be that support that they often need, but also to raise something so precious because children are definitely a gift of God. Look at Paul's example of a virtuous woman in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Let's look at that particular passage. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Because here it talks about the role of older women and younger women. Notice what Paul says. And notice Paul was not telling her how to be a great CEO or own a company. He was not telling her how to be the best socialite. He was not describing, you know, how to do this and how to have the nicest and fanciest clothes and have $10 million art on your wall. He's talking about how we treat one another and our responsibility to one another, whether it be an older woman or a younger woman, because it's always going to be younger women. Let's see what Paul says about it. Let's begin at verse number 3. And it says this: the aged women likewise, that they behave in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, this is a lot of particular characteristics Paul talks about. But notice he starts with the older women. Some of you have experience. You still have a lot to offer, a lot of folks who are coming along the way. There are so many. There are so many folks in our society who have not experienced a loving mother in their life. They have no clue what it's like to have a mom's real love. They need our support. It's not just enough to say you'll be okay. A reminder of what James talks about in James chapter 2. When we're talking about faith and works, it's talking about when the passage in James says he came to a man who was hungry. And James says in his book, in the book of James chapter 2, he says, go your way and be filled, but he didn't do anything to help him out. And that's sometimes our mindset. Go be a good mother. Go be a good role model. But my question is, what are you doing to help others do it? What are you doing? Reaching out. Maybe that child is going astray. Maybe that child has been abused when she was younger and she knows nothing but how to be used like with men, for men to use her like that. Instead of talking about her, why don't you reach out to her? Maybe she's looking for another way. She just doesn't know how. And part of our role as responsibility as being members of the body of Christ is to make sure we pass these things on to one another. They need it. The world needs it. You think about the situation now where 60% of the homes in our country now are basically single-parent homes. Somebody needs some help. Some of you are very good mothers, and some of us are great mothers and great role models. Don't just keep it to yourself. There's a whole lot of wisdom that needs to be spread. You can help somebody, even sometimes when you make mistakes. Tell them the mistakes you made so they won't fall into the same pitfalls. One of the things that happens a lot of times is we feel so ashamed that we don't even let God use those areas that we've come up short in. You can tell somebody, look, I know the end road of that. Don't do that, sister. Don't do that, young lady. That's not good for you. I went through this, and I don't want you to go through it, but oftentimes we sit back and keep quiet, or we'll begin to chastise and talk about them and that situation. How does that look to God? We have a responsibility to teach one another. So this is what he's talking about right here. He tells her how to be a godly mother, and then he says this, and wife, so that the word of God is not blasphemed. So it's not just you you're answering to, mothers and wives. It is also God. So when we don't fill these roles and we don't try to put these things in our life, you're basically making the word of God not just being of null effect, but also basically being accursed because of this. This is what he's talking about here. Paul knows how important it is, and he talks about it. So we see this here. Number three of our lesson, how does Peter describe a virtuous woman? Well, he talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. When he talks about the fact of that her beauty comes more from inside than outside. Now, I want you to think about that in the world because, you know, we're not doing it. Men, your day is coming in June. We don't do a good job. Sometimes we do it and all we're doing is basing the right woman on outward appearances. Guess what? Things change over a while. You know, oftentimes, you know, I used to say this in lessons I've taught like this before. You know, men always talk about trading in for a younger model. Well, sir, your odometer's already flipped, too. What you trading in for? You got just as many miles on her more than you do, but that's not always the situation. And I'm not saying that street doesn't go both ways, and we'll deal with men and women in reverse in June, but I want you to think about what happens. Are you looking for this? Those young men who may be looking for a bride or looking, you should be looking for a virtuous woman because that's what matters in the end. If all you're basing your choices on looks, then you're going to come up short every time because looks change. That's the nature of this life. That's the point of it. So you need to look for someone who's beautiful, not just on the outside, but more importantly, on the inside. And when you do that, that also helps the women out to know that they don't have to jump through all these hoops and deal with things like bulimia and anorexia and all these things sometimes that we deal with in society just to please or get somebody to look at it. That should not happen. And definitely, young women, since I'm talking about this, please, please, please don't give yourself to everybody. Matter of fact, you should be just giving yourself to your husband and your husband only. End of discussion. Why? Because the Bible said so. But what happens is, and oftentimes it talks about even the book of Proverbs, when you do these things, basically what you're doing is giving them a piece of your soul. So no wonder you go into a helpful, long-term relationship in pieces because you're giving yourself away. That's the nature of it. That's why we can't play games with this stuff. Now, we've all been tempted and made mistakes, but really, we got to stick with what the Bible says. When you do those things, you're giving a piece of yourself away. And young men, we need to stop using our women and trying to manipulate them for certain things they're going to do on the physical side. Because to them, it means something different. It's more on the emotional and the mental side. We don't concern them. Men are more physical. Just lay it out there. That's how God designed us. But If you don't understand that's a part of a woman, you're going to do a whole lot of damage to somebody who really don't deserve it. But it happens a lot of times because that's our mindset. And then she goes on to somebody else's damaged goods, or in pieces, as I like to say. So we need to change how we do that as well. So Proverbs 11:22 says this: without inward beauty, and any outward beauty is as a ring in a swine's snout. Now, I don't know about you, but in my time on this earth, I've seen some pretty ladies on the outside until they opened their mouth. And what came out of their mouth was ungodly as it can be. And not even saying anything, sometimes just the attitude can make somebody ugly, unattractive. How you treat others in your life can make folks unattractive. So it ain't all based on outward beauty, because you've seen those situations. You've seen someone that looks nice, and then you see them for who they really are. You see the inside, and it's as ugly as all get out in many respects. But women, young women, and older women, make sure you're focusing on those virtues on the inside. The outside, take care of yourself, is not going to hold up long anyway. Unless you keep propping up with plastic surgery, don't worry about that so much. But worry about being more godly. Worry about being a better example. Worry about being a better mother and husband. And those things will take care of itself because you're pleasing to God. And that's what he's talking about right here. Point number four. She passes on these virtues to her children. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Book right before Titus. We're going to read verses 2 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 through 5. Is that where I want to go? Let me see if it's 1 Timothy. Might be 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 1. Verses 3 through 5. I'm sorry about that. I'll correct it when I get up there. Let's see what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to send thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned love, faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Now, you notice something absent here, and that's the father. And when you know a little detailed history of this, we know that basically he was a Gentile. He was a Hellenist, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But evidently he was not, didn't take a major role in making sure that his young son Timothy found God. But guess who did? Grandmama and mama. And the sad part about it is a lot of our congregations are made up primarily of women and children. Where are the men? They're the ones who plant that seed oftentimes. But not the men's help. Men, we'll get to you in June, but oftentimes that's what happens. Usually the first person who teaches you the basic principles about God is the woman or the mother. They lay that foundation. And that's a great thing to do, because what you're doing then is you're pleasing to God, but you're also working towards what it talks about in Proverbs, saying, you know, we give them back to God. Raise up a child the way he should be raised, and I'm paraphrasing, because when he's old, he will not depart from it. So we have a responsibility to plant God in the hearts of mine. And we know, again, we deal with it in June, that man has been given the task of being the scriptural leader of the household, but that's oftentimes not the case. Or they come on a little later. Or they jump on the train way down the road, but usually it's mom teaching them some of the most important things in life about God. So we see it. Well, they remember your faith above you also. Understand, women as well as men, but women, there are folks watching you. There are little ones' eyes on you. There are folks in your community who are watching you, on your job, that are watching you to see whether what you say lines up with what you do. You claim God one day, you know, even James talks about that. He says, you know, sweet water and bitter water can't come out the same fountain. So what kind of water are you presenting to the world? Think about that for a moment. And yes, the world does have a right to drink from your saucer, as I like to say. That's how God blesses us. So we got a responsibility, not to ourselves, but to others. Could they see, could they say that you, they saw you live in this faith, or were you just talking it? So the goal is to make sure we do our best to live a godly example before them. And the last part of this slide, it says, did they see it carry you through life's most difficult situations and challenges? Sometimes you don't realize how powerful that is, because they need to know the answer, because the way life works is they're going to have some problems too. There are going to be some things they don't have answers for. Things are going to happen to them that they have no control over. Did they see mama? Or did they see grandmama, auntie, or somebody else showing them that God is the answer? Or did you stray away? Because what you're teaching them then is, when things get hard, to get away from God. That's not what we should be teaching them. We should be teaching them and setting an example to get closer to God, even in the most difficult situations. Because when you do that, you realize that you're giving them something that's beyond this world. But guess what? None of us are going to be here forever. One of the things we ought to want what I do with our children is to make sure that they're connected to the God that we serve. Because guess what? We are not going to be here forever, but God will. So our job is to make sure that they have God in their life. If you hadn't done anything else, and you've got accomplished all kind of other things, but you have not given them God, brothers and sisters, you've not given them anything. You can leave an inheritance to us. You can leave your car, your house, money, and all that other stuff. That's only going to last for a while. Are you busy making sure that God is in their lives? And if not, you have really not left them a long-lasting inheritance. Because wealth is fleeting. One bad turn, one job loss, one situation, one trauma in society or physically in the world, one bad storm, things change. But what are you really giving them? What are you leaving with them? And then also, are they seeing you set the example? Because guess what? The way children work is, you know, you can do that for a while. You can play this card for a while. Do what I say, not as I do. You can play that for a little bit, but sooner or later, they're going to stop listening to what you say and do what you do. And then it really gets serious. Why? Because you have not set the example that God wants them to set. And they're looking to you to do that. How is they going to get it? We're concerned about everything else, and we should. We're concerned about the education, the health.
That's right.
But what about their spiritual health?
That's right.
What about the fact that they need God in their lives?
That's right.
That should be one of our motivating principles that we sometimes leave on to them. All the time leave on to them. Point number five. Let's look at, again, King Lemuel's picture of a beautiful woman. Now, notice I said beautiful woman. Look at these characteristics. I don't see anywhere in here, and I'm just being frank with you this morning, being laying it out there. I don't see anywhere that King Lemuel talked about keeping a Coke bottle shape. I don't see anywhere in here where that's what he says for that woman to be beautiful. I don't see anywhere in here where she says that, you know, hair had to be a certain way and look this certain way and wear certain clothes, but he does talk about what's most important. Let's see what he says. And I'm just going to go through it because I already read the verses. Point A, and she's trustworthy. Now, how important is that for somebody? It should be not only to her husband, but to other folks in the community. You should be somebody who can be trusted. Not only trusted to do and lead this kind of example that God wants us to lead, but also trusted enough not to gossip and backbite. Because sometimes that does way more damage than a little bit. A lot of folks have been damaged because of that, but we ought to be setting the proper example. She's also strong in her convictions. Now, how important is that? Well, me and men say, you know what? That's the problem. She's too strong. Well, maybe you need to examine how you're doing things. Maybe you need to check about why she's that way or feels that way. Maybe you need to decide to fill God's role for your family in your life, and those things will change. Because the way it works is, looking at Scripture, is the man is a leader and the woman submits to his authority. Now, submit means that she was on equal par, but she made a willing choice to please God to be under his authority. She was not created less. Don't believe that, man. She's not to walk two steps behind you. She is your rib. That means she's supposed to be by your side at all times. At all times. That's your helpmeet. God saw that man was lonely and created woman. You know, and we sometimes play the same game that Adam did when things go wrong. Is that woman you gave me? No, sir, no, ma'am. When you look at that command, he gave the command to Adam. So if anybody should have eaten that fruit in the Garden of Eden, it should have been Adam because God specifically gave that command to him. My question is, what did he tell his wife? Now, I'm just filling in the blanks. Don't take this as the gospel because it's not. But men being men is, baby, look how good that tree look over there. Take on, check it out. I mean, ain't you coming with me? No, I got something to do. He watching her the whole time. Go ahead and do it. What did it look like? What did it taste like? I don't know. I hadn't tasted it, Adam. It might take a bite out. It ain't going to hurt you. How is it? It's good? Well, give me a bite, too. That's how it works sometimes. Not all the time. Maybe I haven't been around men like that, but I have in my life. I'm just going to lay it out there. Push that woman out there in a situation where he should have been leading in the first place. She's tender-hearted and merciful. Think about that. I mean, and that's some things that I'm laying out there that only moms can help you with. And that's not like any slight about men and their role of responsibility, but God made mothers special. That's a thing that she can really help the children out with. It may be not a strength of the father or the man of the household. And that's the way he made her. He made her that way. She's also optimistic. There's nothing worse than women basically, as I like to say, placing curses on their life. They say things like this: well, you know what? You ain't going to do no better than I am. What kind of mindset is that? You ought to want your children to do a whole lot better than you did, but that's not always the case, because you're feeling some type of way about your life. You'll even place that curse on your own children's life. It ought not be that way. But it is that way sometimes, because we know that they're a reflection of us, and we know also that they live a good godly life. I may have to change too. So guess what? I'm not going to put God in their lives, because if they get serious about God, that means I got to do the same thing. It ought to be the other way around. It ought to be the other way around, according to what God says. She's also industrious and not lazy. Oh, my goodness. Let's talk about that for a moment. Now, laziness is not defined as somebody taking a break, but laziness means you know you're slacking and ain't doing no better with it, and just not fixing it, not working on it. That's the mindset that it's talking about here. She was industrious. And now, a lot of women get up before the crack of dawn and go down right around midnight. And I understand that. They don't say you have to work their schedule, but it should not be said that you're a lazy person. That ought not be said. Why? Because all of us have a responsibility to work and do things. And I'm going to say this too. A lot of folks don't like it, but that's all right. I'm going to love you anyway. If the woman works outside the house, man should be working inside the house to help out. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. If she's doing it and helping you take care of your responsibility, I once heard somebody say, if the lights ain't on in the house and no food to eat, that's daddy's fault. If the child can't read, that's mama's fault. But it go both ways. If she's helping you bring in the bread, you need to be help teaching that child to read and running the vacuum cleaner, running the dishwasher, or running yourself out the way to get somebody to pay somebody to do it for. One of those should happen. But it doesn't always happen. Oftentimes she has two full-time roles. And it ought not be. We can learn to do these things because she's sharing our primary responsibility as well. Let's see what else it has to say. Let's look at number 6. It is hard work being a good mom. She considers it a privilege and a blessing to take care of her family. This is what we read of in Proverbs 31. She is the one who is making sure that you're safe at all times. She's the first one to cry and feel your pain when you're hurting. She is also the first one to risk it all to save her children. She will be there when no one else is. And if you need any further example of this, I want you to take your mind back to Christ when he was on the cross. That wasn't nothing but women around the foot of the cross. What were the men? Peter was back there cursing and he didn't even know Christ. John stood a good distance away because he looked off and said, John, take care of my mama. But there was 9 other apostles. Where were they? They walked with Jesus every day. But mama was there. Auntie was there. Salome. More relatives were there. They were right there to take care of him. And guess who was the first one at the tomb early on the first day of the week? It wasn't the men. They was hiding somewhere in the upper room talking about all is lost. But no, they went at least to prepare the body. So they were there even then too. What about us? But this is what it's talking about. She's always going to be there. And that's what Christ did. The last thing he did before he gave up the ghost was to make sure his mama was taken care of. You want to know how important taking care of mothers is? That's what Christ did. And he's our example, right? But he made sure mama was taken care of. Now, we don't see Joseph anywhere in the picture. After the early years of Christ's life, we don't know. Common sense or wisdom tells you he may have passed on at that point in time. I don't know. He might have been at home watching a football game. I don't know. You know how we do sometimes. Y'all go on to church and let me know when you get back. I'm here. I got you. Y'all know you got to get up and go. They used to burn me up when I was younger. I'm just going to lay it out there. It did. Why I don't get to stay home and watch a football game? Why I got to go to church and stay all day? But I'm so glad my mama didn't listen, because she planted at least a seed of God in my life. I was able to see the football game when I'm home. But what happened after that was I started to look at pops in a different way. Well, you ought to be going too, Dad. You know, if I got to go, you ought to go. That's the way it should be. But I'm so glad I had a mother plant that seed in my life. So this is what it's talking about. Moving on, number 7. Children are a gift from God. Psalms 127:3-5. Now, I want to say this in the light of our society today, in the light of the uncalled for and the numerous abortions that our society says is okay and is a choice of a mother. But we know that life begins at conception.
That's right.
Now, I don't care what the world says, they can like me or not, but I'm going to stand on truth, it begins at conception. It ought not be mentioned. We're more concerned about anything else. We're more concerned about our pets than the lives of a child. They wouldn't do that to a pet. You do it to a pet, you know, you got them folks, them ACLU folks coming down on you. They coming right to your door and saying, and what's them people that be throwing that paint on them fur coats and all that other stuff? Peter, thank you. You be answering to them pretty soon. Thank you, brother. You be answering to them pretty soon. But I wonder, just wonder, where are we when it's time to stick up for the unborn? Where are we when it's time to stick up for those who really can't speak for themselves? We'll do it for an animal. We'll even do it for a dead animal. But what about all those children who didn't have a chance to live because somebody said it was their choice and not God's? It ought to be shameful, and it's an abomination in this world that we live in today. That's what it really is. We can't let life in its hard times make us lose focus. What happens a lot of times, and not a lot of times, in some folks' lives, especially moms' lives, they get so bogged down with everything else, and the children are left by the wayside. And they need you. They need you. You have to make some changes in your life. They need you. They need you in their life. But sometimes our own problems, situations, and circumstances crowd out the need of our children. Do you thank God for your children every day? Or do you just curse at them? No, I wouldn't say privilege. I've had the opportunity to work in situations where calling mama going to make it 10 times worse. Because she ain't got nothing positive to say. She cussing me out and the kid out on the phone. How's that going to do any good? And maybe he had a problem. Well, not to her, because she got her own problem. I had folks tell me this at work, too. You don't call me between 8 and 3. Them your hours on duty. Don't call me between 8 and 3. Don't you let my phone ring. And as an administrator, I'm like, well, that's still your child. No, sir, no, ma'am. But I had to see through it. Maybe they didn't have the skills to be a good parent. So I couldn't take it personally. But it's kind of sad when that's your mindset, that all you're doing is pushing them off on somebody else so you can get a break. Do you enjoy that noise and laughter? Or does it always make you angry? Because guess what? Sooner or later, they're going to grow up and move out. And you're going to miss that noise and laughter. You're going to miss the talks. You're going to miss those situations where you're telling them to move their feet and pick up their shoes and all these other things that you sometimes do. I've been there. I know it. You miss it. And it's not fun, so you need to enjoy it. It's not always easy, but understand, in the end, it's more than worth it. You'll even miss those times when you had a chance to even discipline them sometime because you knew that at least you had an influence in their life as far as them doing right and wrong. You're going to miss them. Do you cherish the time you have with them, or do you just wait for them to leave and move on to somebody else? I wonder, just wonder. You know what? I've heard parents say, you know, I just can't wait. Ain't your grandma, where your grandma at? You're going to your grandma's house, not for a day or two. You're going to stay with her for the rest of the year. But and there's nothing wrong with that per se, but what about your job? And it breaks my heart. It does. It's just me speaking now. It breaks my heart. And I've seen situations where grandmothers in the eve of their life are having to raise little children because the parents neglected them. Now, I'm not saying they're not important parts of life, and yes, they are. But should that be their primary responsibility if life terms don't dictate it? That's somebody who shucked their responsibility. But I see it all day long, and there's nothing wrong. I love grandmothers. But at some point in time, they don't want to raise children 24/7. It's great to have them and take care of them, but to raise them, that's a whole different mindset. But we see it in our society each and every day. Do you enjoy helping them figure out life? Now, figuring out life means also that you're willing to share not only good things in your life, but also some of your mistakes. We sometimes, I don't want anybody to know. Well, how is somebody else going to know not to make the same mistake? Maybe, just maybe, you went through that so you can help somebody else. And it didn't turn out right. I know I was able to teach a whole lot of lessons from not doing stuff right and try to instill it in my son and those around us. I tell you, I made some mistakes, but don't do the same thing because you won't get the same result. It ain't going to change for you. So learn and teach them. Do you realize how important you're important to your children are always? Now we know as you move on into life's eve, you know, and marriage and things like that happen, you know, and those roles change a little bit. But they shouldn't totally disappear and dissipate either. Because they're still your children and they still need you. I don't care if you're 90 and they're 70. Do you still hear? They still need you. If nothing else, for a shoulder to talk to and cry on, a shoulder to help them out, a shoulder to help them figure things out, that maybe you crossed that bridge a long time ago. It's terrible when we have that mindset. You know what? You're grown now. Get out of my life. What? How that supposed to work? Nobody got out of your life. What if God did us that way? As soon as you get up out of the water, I'm through with you. You're on your own. What if he left us that way? We serve a God who says this now, I will never leave nor forsake you. Now, if God does that for us, we ought to be willing to do it for somebody else as well. We ought to be willing to do it for somebody else as well. And they'll benefit from it. That role changes and the priority in life changes, but they're still your children. Amen. Make their own decisions, but you still need them in their life. So in closing, what are mothers made of? It's not just a tender touch, but a soft word that soothes souls. She's willing and able to teach not only her children, but others as well. Wise mothers are some of the most influential people God ever made. It is a role to be cherished above all others. Please, please, please do not take your mothers for granted. You know, I know sometimes they get on your nerves. And I know sometimes they're telling you this and you seem like they're trying to run your life. But anybody who's lost their mother, they would trade places with you in a heartbeat. They would trade places with you in a heartbeat. I've seen folks treat their mothers worse than dirt. And oftentimes, them the ones falling over in the casket crying when she leaves here. Well, you should have done that while they were here. Too late? Now, Mama, you didn't even, she lived right next door. You didn't go call her. You didn't cut her grass. You didn't make sure she was okay. But now she's dying. You putting on a show, trying to climb in the casket with her. What foolishness is that? You didn't give her flowers while she lived. Make sure you do these things. And in closing, hug somebody who's lost theirs. I don't care how old you get, whether you're 8, 18, 80, you're still going to remember Mama and you're still going to miss her. And that's the nature of the relationship we have. Times like these and days like these, it's tough on them. Don't be just so satisfied that maybe your mother's still living. There's a whole lot of folks. And when they hear you complain about your Mama, they're looking at you with two crossed eyes, steaming, because theirs is not here anymore. So don't take them for granted. They're to be cherished. They're to be cherished as God's creatures. Mothers play a special role. King Lemuel gives us a very good example of what a beautiful woman looks like. And he said nothing about looks. He talks about character. He talks about virtue. He talks about godliness. That's what makes somebody truly beautiful in the eyes of God, but also it should be in the eyes of our society. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel. We must believe what we have heard. We must repent of our sins. We must confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We must be baptized for the remission of our sins. And that places us in Christ Jesus. Makes us new creatures. But guess what? You and I still going to mess up. We still going to fall short. We still not going to measure up. And I'm so glad God said, you know what, Curtis? I know way back in 1994 you obeyed the gospel. But it's 2021, May 9th. And guess what? I messed up this morning just like you did. I'm going to mess up tomorrow morning. That's the nature of sin is. But we ought to be glad that he's given us the law of repentance to get those things right. But just like anything else, time is going to eventually run out. It's going to eventually run out. And then there'll be no more chances to get things right. And we never know. I was talking to Brother Grady this morning about his niece, and I know they're really struggling, but, you know, he talked about the fact he had a chance to teach those in his life how brief and how frail life is. You don't have to be 80, 90, 100 years old to leave here. And it don't have to be a cause either. People dropping dead left and right for no reason. Picture perfect of health, brother. And not here anymore. No chance to say goodbye. No chance to do anything. So you need to learn to cherish one another. Enjoy one another in your life because that's what it's all about. It's all about touching lives. So thank for the mothers out there. If you have someone, if there's someone in the audience who would like to put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer, we're going to ask you to stand. Please stand and sing as we sing a verse.